Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for an afternoon daily editorial. Jimmy got his took care of his daughter who had the driver's test today in the Carolinas, and guess what? She passed it the first time. Doesn't surprise me at all, Jim. You know, you get a determined woman, and she gets an awful lot accomplished. Let's talk a little bit about Ms. Lake down in Arizona. Apparently, she has, according to what she said, she has proof that, 10,000 votes were stifled out of her election?
No. Okay. So it's according to today's information. So
right.
What's happened, just an update. Katie Hobbs last week filed to get KRU Lake's lawsuit thrown out.
Okay.
But records today revealed nearly a quarter of a million, almost 250,000 ballots were rejected on election day in Maricopa County. There was just 17,000 vote difference in the race.
Oh boy.
So that's one aspect of it. And of course, this is according to her team, and they apparently are going to file this information with the court, and they do have expert witnesses, and they've got affidavits that are legally binding. But the other major bombshell in this latest information as of today is they're arguing against Katie Hobbs' election and confirmation as governor.
Yeah.
That 40,000 ballots were illegally counted, with 10% of their signatures were reviewed.
Yeah.
40,000 ballots were illegally counted where signatures did not match.
Okay.
And she sent out a tweet today and showed examples of the signatures. And they are way off according to this ballot sample.
Yeah.
So either one of these two, if in fact are proven true, should be justifiably enough data to have the election actually redone or thrown out.
It seems to me that a lot of the officials in Arizona are on her bandwagon, by the way.
So I think the Republican Party in Arizona is. Maricopa County is different.
Yeah.
So Maricopa County does have a majority Republican leadership in their county.
Yeah.
But they're very much never Trump, never America, anti-America first type people. They're institutionalists.
Okay.
And Carrie Lake, like Donald Trump, was an incredible threat to their control. And, they're arguing, oh, no, this is what we did and it was right. But when you look at all the data out there, there's clearly serious problems with the election in Maricopa County, with the tabulators, with the number of people where they're disenfranchised because they were not able or were unwilling to stand for hours in line at these polling stations. And then, of course, with this latest information on basically nearly a quarter of a million votes that were not counted.
Yeah.
And
that's a bunch of votes, Jimmy. That's a bunch of votes.
Yeah, and we're talking about, a 17,000 vote difference. And, of course, Maricopa County in Arizona is by far the largest, like Washington State, where Seattle is the largest and dominates the state because the population there is almost as equal to the rest of the state, certainly in that greater metropolitan area. The same thing in Arizona, the same thing in many states that are either purple or potentially blue states because the demographics favor Democrats in those very dense urban areas.
Huh. Well, what do you think that'll do to the Republican contingent in the in Arizona?
Well, I think some of these county council and city council members, Maricopa County council members, and then Phoenix and some of the other Scottsdale, some of the conservatives that sit in those seats. They're probably not going to be reelected. They'll probably not even choose to stand for another election.
Yeah.
So it's a long process. It takes, people's eyes being awakened to the you know, disenfranchisement and the lack of validity and lack of trust in our election system. And over time, ideally, you get a change in who controls the apparatus for election, which ideally would be more honest and more transparent. What we're seeing is across the United States, there has been a big swing since the Obama administration towards conservative local control and more transparency. But at the same time, the Democrats have gained more ground in the dense urban environments with less transparency. They don't want voter ID. They don't want audits on the election. They don't want observers. They want mail-in ballots. And that has caused tremendous problems in states like California, in Oregon, in Washington, in Arizona, we're watching it live, in other areas. So, this is the challenge, is to get people aware enough that the local elections is where it matters, because they're the oversight of how things operate in your county.
Yeah. Well, let's switch the subject just a little bit. I mean, I hope to hell it works for Carrie. I like her a lot. I think she'd make a great, elected official in Arizona.
She's still polling far ahead of Katie Hobbs even now, and of course, very high against Kristen Sinema, the Arizona Democratic senator.
Yeah.
If she were to run for Senate in 2 years, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with this election. And if, in fact, Carrie Lake does win in court, it'll be interesting to see what type of solution there'll be, if they, will have to redo the election, if they kick Katie Hobbs out of office, if it's they just accept it, which is what we've seen with the Biden administration and the Biden regime over the last 2 years, and wait for the next system next time around, which obviously didn't work too well for 2022. So there has to be a lot of effort towards transparency in our election system in order to get people to have faith and confidence in it again.
Well, I mean, with the messes that we've had up to this point, I mean, this what's going on right now in Arizona, you know, is just kind of a copycat of the situation in Georgia and other states. And so I think the United States, the government really needs to look into the election in terms of integrity. I would guess that under Biden, it's not going to happen, Jimmy.
No, and that's why the important effort right now is to show the corruption, and that's through investigation and then actually forcing the media to report on these issues.
Yeah.
And that's, again, corruption and hidden agendas is where you get corruption. And of course, when there's money involved and there's power involved, you're going to see that no matter who's in charge.
Yeah.
That's always the case. So we've got to fight for more transparency. We've got to fight against a media narrative that censors any opposition to a particular political agenda.
Yeah. Interesting, interesting. You know, the thing with Zelensky, what happened today, broke in the news to conventional press this morning, but here's how the Wall Street Journal puts it. Zelensky removes top officials in bid to contain corruption scandals. The Ukrainian president is looking to shore up the confidence of Western governments that are giving Kiev billions of dollars in aid. Well, when you throw in that as one of the factors, he really didn't have a choice. I don't care what he really wanted to, but he really didn't have a choice, because if his buddies were taking a meaningful amount of money from various, sources, I would say that Ukraine would be kind of dead in the water in terms of Western support. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think this is definitely a move to try to show that he's pushing against corruption.
Uh-huh.
And I think if he wants to continue to get resourcing, you just have to have, again, the same thing, transparency and where that money goes and who's involved in it. I will say that every former Soviet country has a deep level of corruption because of the way the system worked in the past.
Let's talk about that just a little bit, Jimmy. I have some questions. Now, when you look at the deep corruption in the Soviet Union and Russia and various surrounding countries. That doesn't seem to transfer over to China, does it?
No, it absolutely does. In fact, China is the most corrupt country. And the reason why is when you have centralized control and power, everybody has to bow down to that central authority. So if you are outside of, if you argue with them, and in the case of China, let's just say you don't agree with their foreign policy and you state so publicly, you will be imprisoned. If you have any influence, you may never be seen again.
Right.
So that's the reality. What happened in the former Soviet Union with every one of the former republics underneath the Soviet Union and every Eastern Bloc country is that if you were against the party agenda, first of all, the only people with power and resources had to be party members.
Yeah.
And they weren't financially like big corporate moguls like we see in the West. Saw in the West then or see in those countries now with these massively wealthy oligarchs.
Yeah.
But they had the same type of power and influence because they had control of all the apparatus and the law enforcement and military authority. So if you question them and you question their abilities or their strength or their, or you question anything that they're that they wanted to push from the government perspective, then you were an enemy of the state.
Yeah.
And that is that actually when the Soviet Union collapsed, every one of the former republics, with the exception of the free Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, they all maintained the same type of leaders. They just changed their name from communists to Democrats.
Yeah.
They potentially ran for election, but they ran with the same powers they had before, which means every local official had to bow down and pay tribute to the people above them in order to keep their own jobs.
Yeah.
And that's the way it worked. Now, that is...
And still works, correct?
Well, in most of those states, most of those former Soviet states, yes, it has... It still works that way. Yeah. However, there was a tremendous push in the satellite states, the former Soviet satellite states, like in East Germany, that now is Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, to go against that type of corruption. Now, is it all gone? No, because there's corruption everywhere. There's corruption in the United States, there's corruption in France, there's corruption everywhere in the world. But it was so embedded and so ingrained that you did not function with any type of legal recourse. There was not a judicial system that would protect you in those states if you were pushing against the state or the objectives of the state. So what we're seeing now in Ukraine is a movement of the people in Ukraine that were fed up with that system. And what they did in 2019, whether you like him or you hate him and you think he's a corrupt leftist, socialist, whatever, Zelensky was elected by 73% of the vote because they wanted to get away from that corruption. They wanted to move away from the influence of Russian oligarchs and the relationship between Ukrainian oligarchs and Russian oligarchs and the former the influence over former Ukrainian politicians.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we have it now. And so, yes, Zelensky has to push back against it in order to prove it because people are questioning it. He knows if he doesn't, he will not survive. I mean, the moment the United States shuts the spigot off on weapons and ammunition, he knows he's done. Or he'll have to depend on the Western Europeans, and the Western Europeans are really unreliable. I mean, we're pretty unreliable these days as well, but the Western Europeans are very cautious about getting involved because they fear Russia.
Yeah.
Eastern European, former satellite states, they're much more willing to help because they have that direct experience of the corruption underneath the communist system.
Yeah. Interesting situation going on over there. I didn't realize, quite frankly, you know, you get this image of the Ukraine, you know, pictures of old people who are starving, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got a meaningful amount of the populace that is actually, they got their hand in the cookie jar. That's too bad, Jimmy.
Well, you know, it is everywhere. It's everywhere. But there are a lot of people that have laid over under that same system.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it worked. And, you know, in our view, we have some sort of legal recourse, or we did up until this Department of Justice, where you'd expect and trust that our legal system would actually take action against corrupt, yeah. you know, clear corruption.
Yeah.
But that's becoming less and less trustworthy anywhere right now. So will it matter in Ukraine? There's still going to be corruption.
Yeah.
I know what happened when I was a security assistance officer in the Republic of Georgia.
Yeah.
I delivered materials and to the former, to the Russians, former Soviet, or at least the, and they immediately, you know, they immediately sold them off. There were a lot of corrupt activities in there.
Wow.
In the long term, it's a very big challenge. But in my view, there's probably some hope with those cultures that really want to push against it.
Well, I think that's a major issue for me. I'm not really sure, Jim, that there's anything more we can say. I was really interested when I was going over the comments today, and I believe I addressed every one of them. I think I did. And there's got to be a way to, I mean, Ukraine's not my country, you know. And if it's just rampant with corruption, financial corruption or whatever, I'm not sure it really matters a lot to me. Any comments on that?
Well, I mean, I agree. You know, I mean, how much money are we going to throw into a corrupt system that will eventually fail?
Right.
So, you know, you have to make some, if you're going to do it, you got to make some demands. Do I think that I want to see Russia overtake a sovereign nation? No.
No.
Do right. I think that Russia is fighting against the New World Order or the globalists? Maybe to some extent, maybe there's some truth to that. But the answer that he provides and the future that Vladimir Putin and the Russians provide is not one that I want. And that's the same with Russia.
Yeah.
So am I against the New World Order? Am I against globalization? You bet I am right now. Do I think that Russia is going to solve it by, you know, kicking back Ukraine? No, they're not. Is China going to do it by taking Taiwan? No. What we'll see is a continued decline of Western ideals, of Western power and influence, and the evolution of totalitarian states
right.
that control people through technology and through force and, you know, IDs and digital currency.
Yeah.
And that's not a future I want to see.
No, not at all. Jim, thanks for taking some time this afternoon. I know you were busy, but I really, really wanted to talk about Ukraine. Very important to me because I understand a little bit more about our blogger's philosophy regarding the Ukraine. I think everything that you said was true, and I think you just have to understand that. That's kind of part of the game. Jim, thanks a bunch.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.